I gotta work. Are we working? Yes, we're working. You can hear me? It's not really important that you hear my words, but that you hear what the word has to say. So we'll go from there. We're going to be in the book of Hebrews. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 13. We'll wonder where that went. But we'll be reading out of Hebrews several chapters today. I grew up in the, my teenage years were in the 60s and 70s, and there was a prominent train of thought called existentialism, which kind of bloomed during the 70s in the minds of and the thoughts of young people. The definition for existentialism is a focus on personal experience to understand life. Well, we know how that can go. Each person is responsible for creating their own meaning and purpose in life. And that came about through a philosopher, a French philosopher, Jean-Paul Sartre. And it became very popular, and it did kind of explode in the 60s and 70s in the mindsets of the young people. We had the hippie movement, okay? Free love, demonstrations all over the place, especially Vietnam was a big issue. Things were just in turmoil back in those days. But it was all love and, you know, flowers and, you know, that type of thing. People, and it was the philosophy of the young people in those days. You know, they had to explore the world in which they lived and come up with their own ideas about life and purpose. It was an existential movement. And the music in those days, the bands, they came out and wrote songs. A lot of the songs expressed those feelings and the hopelessness of that type of thinking. Paul Simon was one who wrote several songs. Really good songs. I really liked Paul Simon, Paul and Garfunkel. My goodness, brain. Yeah. He wrote a song called America, and this is one of the final stanzas in that song. He says he's riding in a bus. Okay. He said, with his girlfriend, he says, "Kathy, I'm lost," I said, even though I knew she was sleeping. "I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why. I'm counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike. And we've all gone to look for America. We've all gone to look for America." Remember that one? "I'm lost, I'm empty, I'm aching inside." There was another group, a lot of the groups had funny names. This group was the Animals, And the pianist by the name of Alan Price wrote a song that, by the way, was sung to the tune of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Okay? He must have had some type of biblical background somewhere along the line, but he says this. Everyone is facing changes. No one knows what is going on. And everyone changes places, and still the world keeps moving on. Now love must turn to sorrow, and everyone must play the game, because it's here today and gone tomorrow, but the world goes on the same. He's expressing the thought that we just live and die and move on. It's an endless cycle that we go through. And nobody really knows what's happening. Well, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, we have the answer to that kind of thinking. Jesus Christ is the same today. Yes, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The writer of the book of Hebrews starts out, and we read it this morning, with a wonderful expression concerning our Heavenly Father. He says, "You, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed, but you are the same. Your years have no end." God has always desired a relationship with his creation. And we see that from the beginning when he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. And from there on out, he made attempts to be with his creation. In the context of the letter, the book of Hebrews, we are going to see that Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever. In chapter 9, he says, "He has appeared to us, Jesus, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." That was yesterday. Okay. In verse 24 of chapter 9, he says, "He now appears in the presence of God on our behalf." And in verse 28, he says, "And he will appear a second time to wrap things up." That's my conclusion. And that is Jesus forever. Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews is kind of an interesting chapter because it's kind of like he had a lot of thoughts that he didn't deal with in the first 12 chapters, and he brings up a lot of different subjects in the 13th chapter. He talks about love, he talks about angels, he talks about prison, he talks about marriage, he talks about money, he talks about morality, he talks about elders, he talks about sacrifices, and there are a few others in there that he talks about, okay? And in the midst of all of that, he says in verse 8 And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The previous verse talks about elders and how we are to honor those who have served in the church. Those who have passed away, we are to remember their good testimony and use it as an influence in our lives for the good work that they did. And in verse 9, he talks about staying on the path, staying focused. So it's kind of hard to find the context for which he gives us verse 8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, except maybe instead of focusing on those who have passed, maybe we should place our focus on Jesus. And in order to stay on the path, like he talks about in verse 9, we should be focused on Jesus, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to go back to the first chapter of Hebrews, and it's a quote from Psalm 102, where it says, "You, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning. They will perish. You remain." And now he puts it straightforward and simply, "You are the same and your years have no end." It is true of the Almighty God. It is true of the Son of God. And it is true of the Holy Spirit. And that's how he opens his book. So here we have it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In chapter 5, verse 7, he refers to Jesus in this way. "We have the word in the days of his flesh." We have the word in the days of his flesh. This is how Jesus was. And have you ever, I know you must have, you must have thought sometime in your experience with Jesus what it must have been like, or what it would have been like, if you could have been there when he was walking this earth. Wow. To be in his presence, the Son of God, God in the flesh. What a wonderful thing it must have been. And we yearn for that type of experience with him. There was a little girl who was sleeping in her bed, and she got scared about something, and she ran into the bedroom and crawled in bed with mom and dad, and she said, and dad said, "Well, you know, Jesus is with you. Jesus is always with you." And she said, "Yeah, but I want something with flesh on." That's how we feel sometimes. You know, we would like to touch. We would like to be touched by Jesus. The day is coming when that will happen. But for now, I've shared this with you before, but sometimes in my worship, I picture me in his presence. I picture him on a throne, and I walk into the throne room, and he comes down from the throne and he sits on the steps. Okay, and I walk into the room, I come down, and I kneel before him, put my head in his lap. He touches my head, and it's worship. It's worship. It's being in his presence. And I don't go away from that experience the same. We desire to be in his presence. There was a lady who wrote a little poem I want to share with you. I think of when I read the sweet story of old, how Jesus was here among men, how he called little children lambs to the fold. I should have been with him, with them then, expressing her desire, as did the little children come and gather around Jesus. Jesus scolding the disciples, saying, "Let the little children come to me." What it must have been like for them to be in God's presence and to be touched and held and sit on his lap and experience that. We don't need to be in any kind of doubt about what Jesus was like yesterday. How do we know? Because we have a record of how he was like yesterday. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all recorded his life from the beginning to the end. The incarnation, when he was 12, when he was 18 in the synagogue where he grew up, and he was reading the scrolls of the prophets. Remember, in the past, God spoke of old by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by the Son. And Jesus, the Son, takes the scrolls of Isaiah, and he reads the section which says, "He sent me to preach the good news to the poor, to set the captive free, and to grant sight to the blind." It's Isaiah chapter 61. The people listened to this, and they were familiar with this, but they weren't ready for what he was about to say. Because he goes on and he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And that's exactly what we find in the Gospels. We find Jesus setting the captive free, healing the blind, preaching the good news, and transforming lives. We see him touching the untouchable. Nobody else touched them. Jesus did. The man who couldn't walk. And Jesus puts his finger on his greatest need, and that was his need for salvation. But he healed him. But then he did address the greatest need of the man's life, and that was salvation. Jesus hung out with the most unlikely crowds, got the religious leaders of the day all upset because he was going to the wrong parties. Jesus learned as he walked this earth, the dirt roads through the harvest fields. And that's why he said things like this. He said, "Consider this. He who hears my words and puts them into practice, like the man who built a house on the solid foundation, but I didn't get that correct. But the man who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like the man who built his house on no foundation, and the whole thing collapses. He spoke about seeds. He spoke about wheat and tares. He spoke about birds. He spoke about water. But he used common things that he experienced in his walk on this earth to teach Lord, to teach lessons and to tell stories. They were not difficult to understand, and he made the truth very clear. His purpose was clear. It was unmistakable. He said, "I've come not to the righteous, but to sinners, to repentance." Not to start a religious club or a political movement, but to transform lives. That's why he said, "I am gentle and lowly in heart, and those who come to me will find rest for their souls." We don't need to be in any doubt about who Jesus was yesterday. Jesus today, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What about today? That's the real question, because that's where we are. Is he still like that? You know what you were like on Monday, right? What were you like on Tuesday, Wednesday? How about Friday? We change. We change all the time. But Jesus is the same yesterday and today. Our lives have ebbs and flows. We have seasons of life, but not Jesus. Jesus is the same. And what we've learned from his yesterdays does apply today. We know that he's able to save completely. We've seen that in the way he healed the lame man. We see that in the Gospels that what we've learned about his yesterdays applies to today because he is the same. We see him reaching into the lives of people, transforming them. All we have to do is look at his disciples and see the impact that he had on their lives. Hebrews 7:25 says, "He appears in the presence of God on behalf of his children." That's where he is today. He appears in heaven with God on behalf of his children. When the accuser comes before our Heavenly Father and says, "Hey, look at what your kid did again," Jesus is there, and he leans over and he says, "Ah, he's one of ours. He's forgiven." And he's also able to sympathize with us completely. Hebrews 4:15. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. There's nothing you've experienced in your journey through life that Jesus has not experienced and is sympathetic towards. This is our Jesus today. He's not a phantom. He's not just an idea. He has become part of what he created. He is flesh and blood reality. Tears and smiles he knows like us. We see that clearly in the Garden of Gethsemane. Hebrews 5:7. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who is able to save him from death. That was his experience in the garden. Prayers, supplications, loud cries and tears. Does he understand what we go through? Is he sympathetic to the way we feel? He's been through it. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. That's our Jesus today. How can he feel our sadness and our gladness unless God stepped down into time, unless God took on himself as the Son, the second person of the Trinity, all that is represented in humanity, yet without sin? Jesus the same yesterday and today. And forever. Jesus forever. Who's in charge of forever? Who answers the question of Mr. Price in his song? We're certainly not in charge. When I was going through this coughing thing, I went to the doctors. The doctor didn't do anything for me, so I was looking at supplementals, homeopathic ways to get through this thing. And oh my gosh, there is an herb or a plant for just about every ailment that you can experience, and they kind of give you the idea, you take all these things and gosh, you almost live forever. You just go on forever. There are all kinds of stuff out there. But again, just to remind you, that doesn't happen, of course. Our days are numbered. But again, in Hebrews 1, he says, you laid the foundations of the earth. They will perish, you will remain. They will wear out like a garment, as we do. He rolls them up like an old bathrobe. They will perish, you will remain. Heaven and earth will pass away, but you will remain the same. That's why Jesus can say, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a declaration that Jesus made to his kids. There is a never because there is a forever. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. We would see Jesus this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, it teaches us so much about yourself. It teaches us so much about ourselves. And Father, for the relationship that we share with you, because you've made it possible through the gift of your Son, the sacrifice of your Son, the one Father who lives today and will live forever. Father, we thank you for that relationship that we share. Father, you are our rock, our fortress. Father, the one that we can run to with confidence, knowing that we've been heard. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, that he doesn't change. Other circumstances of life around us always change, but Jesus remains the same. Give you our thanks and our praise, and it's in Jesus' name we pray.